If your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 8 this morning. Luke chapter number 8. A group of muscle men known as the Power Team shares the message of Christ by performing these amazing feats of strength. In one of their demonstrations, they link themselves together with these real thick kinds of chains and then proceed to pull themselves apart. While human strength can break some chains, there are other chains that exist that only Christ can destroy. These are the chains that indeed bind people today. We're going to look this morning at an encounter that happened between Christ and an individual who was possessed with this demon, and it builds upon a preceding event in chapter 8, verses 22 through 25 of the calming of the storm, where both of these stories will proclaim the power that Jesus has in relation to His identity as the Son of God. As a matter of fact, His disciples questioned Him in verse 25, He says, who is this? Who then is this? And it remains the focal point this morning of this revelation of the nature of Christ and His response to human need. So this morning we're going to look in verses 26 through verse number 39. Luke chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 26, it says, then they arrived to the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And as He stepped out ashore, a man from the city who had demons met Him. For a long time He had not worn any clothes, and He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before Him, shouting, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. And when he kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, and he would break the bonds of and be driven by the demon into the wilds. And Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered in me. And they begged Him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was a hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter into those. And so He gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered a swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. And when the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it into the city and in the country, and the people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man with whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. And the whole throng of people surrounding the region asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So He got into the boat and turned. And the man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, God, for your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that perhaps there are some here, some that may be listening, God, that are bound by chains of sin. And Lord, we pray that you would break those chains today. Lord, hide me behind the precious cross of Calvary. Lord, these dear folk not see me, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts, God. May we listen. May we obey. Lord, may we repent, may we turn to You. Save that one that is lost, and bring that one that is backslidden to repentance. Lord, for whatever You do here today, we'll be careful to give You all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The chains that bind. This is probably one of my, I say this all the time, right? One of my favorite passages in Scripture because it speaks a whole lot of what Christ does even for us. Now, we may not necessarily be possessed with a demon, right? We don't live in the tombs and we have our clothes on, right? But nonetheless, there are some sin in our life that perhaps holds us bound, that is chained us, and it seems that we can't get rid of this. And so it makes me think of that song that we sing is probably one of my favorite hymns. You know, this will be the old story that I tell in glory. You know, how great what Christ has done for me. There's a few things here this morning that I want us to see. The message won't be as lengthy as it was last week, all right? We go back from the 10 points to the 3 point, all right? First of all, this morning, notice that the power of evil, the very power of evil, setting aside the contemporary explanation of suffering. We have a lot of explanations today where everybody's a victim, right? There's class disparity, there's poverty, and the list goes on and on and on, right? Everybody is some type of a victim. I remember, I don't watch much TV nowadays, but nonetheless, I remember several years ago, it seemed like you couldn't watch an advertisement where there wasn't some big law firm saying, if you have suffered from, and the list goes on, or taken this medication, you may be entitled, right, to some large financial compensation because you took this medicine or had this operation or, you know, did whatever it was. We live in that kind of society today. And we have all of the remedies, right? We have all the remedies that one can possibly think of. You can go down an aisle in a health store and you can find everything from anti-aging to get rid of wrinkles to losing fat that you can't get rid of to everything else, right? To make you look youthful again. We have all of these remedies. Luke's account here reminds us that there is this supernatural evil that exists and it controls the behaviors of unbelievers. Now some would say, now we don't believe in all of that demon talk, right? We don't believe in all of that possession talk. But dear friends, it's real. There is a force that we cannot see but with our physical eyes, but we can see it in a spiritual matter of the behaviors of how people act that are not believers. And as such, the demon-possessed man exemplifies the destructive pattern of evil and its consequences on human relationships. We see here in this passage here that this man had languished with this possession under the condition for verse 27, I believe it was, it said, for a long time. Now, we don't know how much or what defines a long time. My idea of a long time may be different from your idea of a long time. And likewise with Luke's account. So we don't know how long this was, but nonetheless, the Scripture says that he had languished or suffered with this possession for a long time. And the local citizens of the area tried to help him, but apparently it was to no avail. And so the metal chains that they used were no match for the demon's power. And it surpassed every human effort to alleviate this man of this situation that he was in. It was kind of like the old saying is when they bring a knife to a gunfight, right? You know, the man-made solutions will always fail to combat spiritual problems. There's nothing that we in our humanness can do to to fight those battles. But then you'll also find where the result of these efforts led to alienation and isolation, right? He lived, the Bible says, in the tombs, outside of town, being driven by the demon into solitary places. One of the most conspicuous evidences of a person under the power of Satan is detachment from God, is detachment from loved ones, detachment from the church. And as sin begins to penetrate and to saturate and dominate our lives, we find ourselves separated from those that we care about and those who care for us. And only by the power of Christ is what restores and reconciles those who are trapped in this destructive pattern of influence in their life. So we see here the power of evil. But then on the flip side of that, we find the power of Christ, right? The power of Christ. So there's a song called Power in the Blood, right? There is wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus counters this demonic presence in at least two ways, with power and with authority. In the same way that Jesus demonstrated power over the physical elements of the calming of the sea, as you'll read back up in the verses preceding this account, in verses 22 through verse 25, he had the ability to control the spiritual realm as well. As soon as the man, as you'll notice in the scriptures, saw Jesus, what happened? The demons cried out, right? They cried out for mercy. They cried out begging not to be tortured, which is ironic, right? Being that they were showing no mercy to their prey. They were showing absolutely, they were torturing the one that they were indwelling. But yet when they see Christ, they cry out, have mercy and not to torture us. Note the key words here that are describing this confrontation, if you will. The man cried out in verse 28 and fell at Jesus' feet. Verse 29, we find where Jesus commanded the demons and how the demons in verse 31 begged him not to order them, right? Not to control them. Verse 32, where he gave them, like how the scripture says, permission, right? They didn't want to be tortured. They didn't want to be commanded to do other things. They wanted mercy. But they were granted permission in verse 32 to go into the swine. Which, what happened? Ultimately, they were destroyed, right? So it didn't really matter. Their fate was already accounted for, right? Jesus was going to get rid of them one way or the other. So nonetheless, we find where he gave them permission, and we would maybe possess this or pose the same question, who is this? Who is this? And the demons provided the answer. He is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Dear friend, Satan likes to think of himself as God. That was the whole reason he is who he is, right? If you remember back in Genesis, where he had the confrontation with God, where he deceived, what was it, a third of the whole angels of heaven, how they were kicked out of heaven because of this mentality that he was, in his mind, God. And so we see here where even the demons recognize who God really is. And they know the power that God has. So we need to contemplate on the ramifications of this response this morning, where humanity is powerless, Christ is victorious. While Satan can break physical chains, Jesus shatters everything that inhibits people from being whole. He intercedes on our behalf to deliver us from the oppressive forces and the addiction over which we have no control. And He restores us to that everlasting relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we see the power of evil, the power of Christ. Thirdly, this morning, our response. Our response. Notice in verse 36, I believe it is, those who had seen it told how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. What is our response? Jesus healed the man. This word is a Greek word that describes the total healing salvation that Jesus provides. And I think it's very important for us now. I'm no Greek scholar, don't misunderestand me, and I'm learning a little bit here and there currently, but it's amazing to me when you really get to the root of a word and really see it in its original language, what it means. And so to some, well, this was a great healing, right? He was delivered from the demons. But when you get to the Greek, it's the healing salvation, right? So not only was he healed of the infirmity that he had, but he was also brought salvation that only Jesus provides. Because we know that as he was the Bible talks about living isolated from everyone else, living in the tombs, that there was coming a day, and it was probably going to be sooner rather than later, that the tombs would not only be his physical home at the time, but sooner or later he would be a permanent resident of the tombs, right? That death had to have been knocking for him to be isolated as he was, away from people. People were scared of this man if they saw him in the streets. Isolated. So Jesus healed and saved. And this is the stark contrast of what the townsfolk, you know, as they seen this new man, right? And that reminds us of what Paul tells us over in the Corinthians, where he talks about how we put on a new person, right? That Christ makes us a new creature in Him once we are saved. So this new man that is feeding, or is at Jesus' feet, feeding on what He is teaching him and seeing him in a normal state of man, of mind, right? Not this chaotic madman, psychotic perhaps in our language of today, but instead seeing a sane individual who is clothed, right? And it shocked the townspeople. This demonic was naked, but now clothed. He was in the tombs, but now is at Jesus' feet. He was driven by the demon, but now he was sitting. He was once chained, but now in his right mind. And the people's response was fear. And they went even a step further and asked Jesus to leave them. Right? However, the man sought to follow Christ Wherever Christ was, he wanted to be his disciple and to obey him at whatever the cost was. And rather than refusing the offer, we see where Christ kind of redirected it, right? You can be my disciple and you can follow me while maybe not necessarily at my side. But instead, why don't you go and tell the people what God has done for you? One does not have to be in the physical presence of Christ to follow him. Christ invited the man to participate in his mission of proclaiming what the good news is to all that would hear by sharing what he has done for him. So this morning I would say to you that no matter the chains that bind you, whether they are from the devil himself or perhaps of our own making, we can know that deliverance is available. And it is only through Christ. Now, am I saying that human remedies don't work for certain things? I'm not saying that. I think God gave us a mind. It's been talked about amongst a few of us in times past that, you know, I'm not anti-doctor. I'm thank God for doctors. I'm thankful for the doctors that have helped me through the years and some close calls with life, right? And I'm still here, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God gave them the mind and the intelligence to do what they do, because I couldn't do it, right? But some things are not something that a human can do, but only what God can do. Some of the sickness that we have can be cured, no doubt, by medicine. But the spiritual sickness that we have can only be cured by Christ. The beautiful thing about the healing that Jesus brings is that it lasts forever, right? You don't find an account in the scripture where this individual here ever returned to the tombs, right? He never ripped his clothes back off and went psychotic again and was a madman all over again. But instead, he went about sharing what God had done for him. What are we going to do? It's our responsibility to tell others so that they know. I was in a conversation this week, and I don't know, perhaps God made it work the way it worked for a reason. I believe that everything, there is a reason. I think that God just has a way of orchestrating those things, and I don't know if he was testing me or if maybe he just needed this person to know, two people actually, but it was earlier in the week, and then later in the week I encountered two people who made the statement to me in conversation that they were not religious. And I said, oh, that's okay, because religion will do nothing for you, right? Religion never did anything for anybody, but Christ will. And in the midst of our conversation, they's like, well, you don't understand. Of course, they know I'm a preacher. And they said, I don't know that I can believe in God. And that's where it kind of got, you know. I was like, all right, Lord, here we go, you know. And so we ended up talking. We was at work, and probably it's policy. We're not supposed to discuss those kinds of things on the floor. But nonetheless, we spent the last 4 hours of our shift discussing God. I have a little small New Testament that came from the convention, and I keep it on me at all times when I'm working or out. And it's so small, you know, it just slips right in your pocket. And I went through everything, you know, the Roman road and how you can know, and all about God and some other information that was actually in this Bible to share with them. And they said, you know, it's amazing that you would take the time to share this. And I said, well, you know, I will say this, that life is way too short not to share it. You know, if it takes 4 hours, that's fine. We'll take 4 hours. If it takes 10 minutes, we'll take 10 minutes. But those 4 hours are nothing compared to eternity. Dear friend, I don't know your heart this morning, and I would be probably safe to say that everyone here in the building this morning is probably saved, and I'm thankful for that. But we all know someone who isn't, right? And it is our responsibility to go beyond these four walls and to tell the gospel. It's not always with words, but it is in our actions as well. How we live our faith and how we share that faith with others. This man was a changed man. And it wasn't by anything that he said, right? But it was his appearance. Because the townsfolk knew there was something different, right? They wasn't fearful when they faced him. Because he was no longer psychotic. He was no longer this madman, right? Living in a cemetery, naked, right? That's that Mississippi talk, naked. But he was clothed. And he wanted others to know that it wasn't by his might, but by Christ. So this morning I want to encourage you as you face your world today to share Christ. You know, I'm not a doomsday preacher, and I'm not trying to strike up fear and all of these things, but I, as I've said before, and I'll say it again and again and again, the times are upon us, right? I think it would be safe to say it would be closer today than we was yesterday, right? And we're certainly closer than we was when Luke pinned down these words, right? Or when Paul pinned down the words in Romans and the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and those others, and how that John, as he pinned down the words of Christ, behold, I come quickly. He's coming. We must share the gospel, right, of what he's done for us. Will be my song in glory to tell the old, old story. Amen. We'll extend a hymn of invitation this morning. Perhaps you need to do business with God. Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me. Help me to spread your word. Help me to live the example that I need to live. Help others to see you within me. Notice a change about me. Help me to be contagious to those around me. Maybe you know one that is lost in your own family, maybe a friend. Lord, help me to witness to them that they be saved before it's eternally too late, as we sing together.